come to your presence this evening by the blood of Jesus. We confess our sins, and so we claim with the blood from all unrighteousness. Father, we thank you for your presence. We reverence you as we gather here this evening. We do not take this privilege for granted. Father, as I come to share your word, Father, I strip myself of every confidence that I have in my knowledge or ability to share, or even in my past experience. I commit everything to your hands. I commit my spirit, soul, and my faculties unto you, that I come and use the knowledge, use the prayers, in particular the covenant of said spiritual fathers, that your word will go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and love of the Spirit, doing an internal and eternal work in our hearts, in our lives, causing us to be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. As the word goes forth, let it break yokes in our life. Let it meet needs. Let it bring glory and praise to the name of Jesus, and blessings unto all the sons of men. Father, I also pray and help us to cause the world to cause our wills to become more humble. Let our minds be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions be better controlled by the power of the Spirit. And Lord, in your mercy, as I share your word, help me to redeem my time. Help me not to say things that are necessary. Bringing out a treasure of God, both things, both new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. I also ask that Holy Spirit, I set you at my right, to come and help me to honor God as God ahead with the aim to also honor my parents. Lord God, let there be a refreshing from your presence as we listen and hear you today. Be thy kingdom come, let your will be done. We give you all the glory and all the praise for all you will do in our midst this evening, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God once again for this opportunity given unto me to share the word. I did not take it for granted. We should never take any opportunity that God gives us for granted. I also take this time to honor my spiritual parents, pastor and mommy. I do not say it, I keep saying it, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I do not say it religiously, because I recognize each time I ponder upon these things, I see how much they have sown into my lives, how they have been the right people that God has planted me under to follow, you know, and by God's mercy and grace, I'm trusting that, Lord, they will see the travail of our souls upon our lives and be satisfied, because it's very rare to have such people. Maybe it's because I've never been under another person, but I don't intend to take that risk. It's too risky. You know, there was only one Ark, and there was only one Noah. So there was only one Jesus. So for me, I need to know my Noah, the Ark God has put me in, and my Jesus. You understand what I'm trying to say? Praise the Lord. So I thank you, Pastor. I thank you, Mommy, even though they're not here, but I thank God for their prayers and their covering. Year in, year out, they've taught us things over and over, which we are just beginning to even understand. You know, praise the Lord. So out of those things they've been sharing with us, I would just like to share a few things with us, trusting in myself, God, through the help of the Spirit today. Praise the Lord. We also welcome our internet children that are watching us today. We trust that, Lord, you will have a wonderful time with us today. Praise the Lord. So the title of my message today is, Where is my honor? Let's say it together. Where is my honor? You see, I need to set something straight before I go into the world today. You know, today we are talking about the honor that goes to God alone. You see, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 2, verse 17. Let me set that there. So we don't put away the honor we have to give to men. As I began to talk, I spoke and I said that I honor my spiritual parents from my heart. You know, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. What does it say? It says, honor all men. That's what I want to stick there because of time. So we are not taking away from the honor of men. There's an honor that goes to men, that God has allowed us, everyone, to give unto men. Those above us, those that were on the same level, those under us. It's the honor all men. I follow him. So we're not taking away from that today. But it's a particular honor that must go to God. So that's what we want to talk about today. I'm trusting through the help of the Holy Spirit to bring out some things that God will help us to understand and begin to walk in. Because if we don't give that honor to God, you know, or we do something less, God is not well pleased. You know, to try and make it very, very not too hard on us. Praise the Lord. So let's open our Bible to the book of Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. You see, God started talking about before there was a transition going on. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And you know, for 400 years God did not speak. They now sent Malachi. He now began to speak to his people because the Lord was going to come. And as we all know, we're expecting the manifestation of Lord Jesus Christ in us. Are you following me? So God is beginning to prepare us. He says, I will send my messenger before you, and I will prepare the way, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come into his temple. We all desire him to come. But you see, one of the things that Malachi, the whole emphasis of the book of Malachi is about honoring God. You see, it's unfortunate that most of the people in the church, they've only taken one aspect of that honor, and that is talking about tithes and offering. But it's beyond tithes and offering. Tithes and offering is part of it, but it's far beyond it. He's talking about honoring God. What does it say? Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. Let's all read together. A son honoreth his father. So God expects children to honor their fathers, spiritual and biological. So that is settled. And also says what? A servant is master. Then if I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that what? Despise my name. Say, despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Let's talk about this before we move on. Here God sent Malachi to the people of Israel, a type of his children, the church today. And he says that a son honors his father, and a servant his master. He said, if I am your father, where is my honor? If I am your master, where is my fear? That is, where is my reverence? Not fear that you are afraid of talking to the person. You know, as I was coming up here, a scripture came down. I've just read it so I don't forget. In Psalm 89 verse 7, there is something that is missing in the body of Christ today. A lack of honor for God and the things of God. Psalm 89 verse 7, what does it say? God is greatly to be feared. That fear is reverence, not fear of morbid fear of Satan. You know what the Bible says in the book of Psalm 9? It says that the fear of the Lord is clean. Are you following me? The fear of the Lord is clean. It's not the kind of fear that of Satan that makes you afraid. No, that's not what I talked about. He says, God is greater to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Bible says, yeah, come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, you know, to the church of the firstborn. We are ascending unto the hill of the Lord. And one of the things that we must equip ourselves with is the reverence of God. So what does it mean, you know, to fear God? You know, or I put it here because I will just stick with my tone. I don't want to waste time today. Help me in the spirit. I said that, you know, it says we honor our father God, and then we also fear God, mean reverencing, you know. And what I was saying, but when honoring men surpasses honoring God and obeying God, it falls under idolatry. I said again, when honoring men surpasses honoring or obeying God, it falls under idolatry. That is when you now begin to honor men above honoring God. It is called idolatry. We'll see as we go on. So what does it mean to honor God? I put it here. I said it is to treat with respect, to hold in high esteem, and reverence him above anyone and anything. Very important we have that at the back of our minds. What do we mean by honoring God? To treat with respect, to hold in high esteem, and to reverence him, that is God, above anyone or anything. Which also translates to obeying his word. Are you following me? So true honor is a byproduct of the fear of God. You see, when you fear God, there is a way you are going to reverence and honor him and the things of God. We see as going on. Go on. But I put it here, I say we dishonor God if we value anyone or anything above God. Anytime you value anyone or anything above God, I follow me, you have dishonored God in that situation. That is, if there comes a choice, for you to make a choice between God, man, your job, whatever, and you choose whatever against honoring God, then you have dishonored God in that situation. Praise the Lord. So when God said this through Malachi, and he said that, where is my honor? He was asking them a question because he no longer saw his honor being given to him, reverence, by the people of God at that time. And he was coming back. Can you imagine if your boss is coming and he enters the place and you are sitting down and you behave as if he's not there? Probably your sack letter is waiting for you. So God is coming back to his temple. So he doesn't want to meet us in a state of listlessness. We're just complacent. We don't even care. I follow him. So he sent Malachi. He said, where is my honor? He was looking for my voice. I can't see my honor amongst you people. And Malachi began to explain some verses. So I put it here. If you look at it as we continue to read, I said that our honor of God must transcend to our worship of God. You see, when we say we honor God, you see, what takes honoring men and the things that we do above and brings to at a higher level is that when we honor God, it transcends to worshiping God. You see, we now begin to your honor now transcends to worship. You now begin to, you know, everything you do, you see, it's an act of worship. Just like God said, you shall not worship any or have any other gods beside me. Are you following me? So that's why you can honor men, but you cannot worship men. Are you following me? But see, when you begin to honor God, that honor now begins to bring, it brings to a place of worship. You begin to honor God with your life and everything you do. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? So let's read on. So God was telling them, and I want you to notice that he was talking to the priests. Priests first, which is a type of a church leadership. Those that God has set in authority in his church, the fivefold ministry. Are you following me? So he was talking to them. He said, if I am a father, where is my honor? But you can say, this message came as a spin-off of what I was sharing on Sunday. And I began to tell me that it's not only priest leadership, it also applies to you because he has made you kings and priests in Christ unto him. I from Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. Don't need to turn there. So it applies to us too. So we begin to look at it from that point of view on how to honor God. Not just the leadership, but also the saints must honor God, like I read in the earlier psalm that we opened to. Praise the Lord. So and he said, how do you dishonor me? He said, oh you priests that despise my name. Put it back on the board. Help me, Lord. Verse 6. Not Revelations now. Go back to Malachi chapter 1. No, he was telling them, he said, where is my honor? So he began to explain to them how they dishonored him. So he said, oh ye priests that do what? Let's go, that despise my name. And then they said, and you say, wherein have you despised your name? Hold on, before we move on. He said, I was talking to the priests, you and I, and the leadership in Tadula. He said, you despise my name. And they began to say, why do we despise it? The question is, we've been taught, what is the name of the Lord? As we all know, it speaks about the character of God, which is love, we've been taught. But you see, I like to look at it from the point of view of Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Because when you understand this aspect, then you now know why God was talking about people that dishonored him. Are you following me? So Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Say they have despised his name. What is his name? So what does it say? It says, let's look at that. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Next verse. But let him that glory in this, that what? He understandeth and knoweth me, that what? I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, said the Lord. So what does God exercise himself in? What does he practice continually? Let's say that loving kindness, judgment, justice, and righteousness. Like Pastor has taught us, God shows everybody loving kindness, Christian and unbeliever. That loving kindness is supposed to bring us to a high level of righteousness. But oftentimes, like the Bible says that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. But oftentimes, men take that loving kindness for granted, which was the situation in Israel at this time. So when God does not see that commensurate righteousness as a result of loving kindness, then judgment comes. When that judgment comes, when thy judgments are in the earth, then the inhabitants of the land will have to learn righteousness. But that's not how God wants it to be. He wants that goodness to lead you to repentance. That's why Paul says something. He said that if you will judge yourself, you will not be judged. That is judgment. I don't think of judgment as killing or that is discern. Assess yourself. See whether you be fit or not. Check yourself out. That is, you look at yourself. You are so and so now. That's what happened to Enoch.
Enoch was walking for 300 something years without God. Then he said, look, God has given me long life. Oh, and look at my spiritual state. Then he judged himself. And for that moment, he escaped the judgment that was to come. And he walked with God. So that's what we are talking about. So these people in Israel at this time, they were enjoying God's loving kindness. But they were not bringing forth a commensurate righteousness. So God sent Malachi to them. So, and he said, let's now read the next verse. You see, and you see, this verse I just read is what really affected how they served God. You see, they could not discern the character of God, his loving kindness, his justice, and his righteousness. So it affected their service in the house of God. It affected their ministry. It affected everything that they did, even the sacrifice that they offered. Because you see, when you don't understand God, and you say God is love in abstract, you've forgotten that the Bible says that to whom the Lord loves, he will chasten. He said, I rebuke them that I love. But if you take that aspect out, you find out that it becomes what we call sopi agape. At least it's like, you know, fair again. I follow me. And it's not supposed to be. So because they despised this aspect of God that we see in Jeremiah chapter 9, you know, that we just quoted, verse 23 and 24, I follow me. It affected their ministry and their service in the house of God. So they did not prioritize character in the administration, in everything they did. It did not prioritize it. And they looked down on what I would call perfecting the love of God in their lives, to try and make it very simple, as we've been taught. I put it there. I say, they had a low standing in the scale of their love. The love of God had a low standing in the scale of their values. That is, in everything, they had to make a choice to perfect the love of God in their lives. It was the last thing they wanted to do. Why would I disturb myself about all this? Praise the Lord. So if you look at the next verse, praise God. How did this affect them? Verse 7. It says, ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. The first thing they did, because of a lack of discernment of the love of God, that loving kindness, that justice and righteousness, was to offer polluted bread. What is polluted bread? We all know that the word of God is the bread of life, called the bread of life. So because of this, if you don't understand that aspect of loving kindness, justice and righteousness, you are going to offer polluted bread. What does it mean to offer polluted bread? Or what do we mean by polluted? Polluted means defiled, unclean, impure, contaminated with sin. So this speaks of handling the word of God deceitfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. You see, because they did not understand the aspects of God's judgment, they began to offer polluted bread upon the altar, which is what we see today. Bible says that Paul said, having obtained this ministry, we obtain mercy and we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of the stones, no longer walking in craftiness, nor doing what? Handling the word of God deceitfully. That is polluted bread, which is rampant in the body of Christ today. You hear, I want to give examples because I don't want to point accusative fingers at anybody. But you see, when you hear it, you know this is polluted bread. Especially when you put a price tag on it. Before people can be healed, you put the price tag there. Before they can be delivered, put a price tag there. Before they go to heaven, you put the price tag there. Polluted bread. That is the word of God. It's polluted. They adulterate the word of God. The same thing. They adulterate it. Or they water it down. They water it down. You know, with the spirit of Babylon. They water the spirit of Babylon. They water it down. They remove the conditions. That you don't need to do all this. You don't need to pray. You don't need to just speak the word. Only. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, Amplified. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, Amplified. Are we there? Let's read together. For we are not like so many. Say there are many. We are not like so many, like oxters. Let's read together. Making what? A trade of peddling of God's word, shortchanging and adulterating the divine message. But like men of sincerity and the purest motive, as commissioned and sent by God, we speak his message in Christ the Messiah, in the very sight and the presence of God. oxters. So they adulterate the water. So when you offer polluted bread upon the altar of ministry, that's what we mean by that. You overlook the sin and you overlook the conditions. And then you add all kinds of things that the Bible did not say to it. Forgetting that you are standing in the presence of God and one day you are going to give an account to him that sent you. Very important. So the second aspect when I was meditating on it is that I put it here so that we don't look at the ministers of God alone. Like I said, he was talking about priests, which were kings and priests in Christ Jesus, at whatever level you are. Also, when we pray using God's word with unconfessed sin in our hearts, in your altar, Bible says the altar that sanctifies the gift. If you deliberately, you know, it's not when you are ignorant, but you know this is wrong, and you still keep, like you see them in the church today, they keep making the confessions. You see people living in adultery, misbehaving all over the place. And this is what I said. He said to you, you wicked, why do you have to take my word? You know, in Psalm 50. So that's when we offer polluted bread upon the altar. They are praying. You see, but their altar does not sanctify the gift of intercession they are offering up. Are you following me? So that is one aspect that we need to be careful of. Also, I put it there. I said that their service in the house of God was also substandard compared to their service in the secular world. You follow my train of thought. The first aspect is this. God was saying that they offered polluted bread upon the altar. Secondly, now God began to tell them, which I will quote later, open to Malachi chapter 1, verse 8, just the next verse. Because of this tainted aspect of not seeing God in the right perspective of his loving kindness, justice, and righteousness, they polluted the bread, they are serving, offering polluted bread, then also affected their service in the house of God. They began to offer substandard things to God, things that they would not dare do in the secular world. What does it say? And you offer, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Say a lot of words. This is God talking. God started telling them, he said, okay, you guys, don't worry. He said, what you cannot do in your secular work, how come you are bringing it to me? Substandard. Said in those days, they used to bring sheep and goat and whatever. So God was watching them. You know, just guys likes watching what people do. Like he stood and was watching what I was dropping the offering. They will come. God will have seen what he had in his house. Maybe he has flock, find everything. They will not pick the one, you know, that has one eye. Then they will come. The thing will be, maybe the leg is broken. They will bring it to the king. Oh yeah. God said, that same sheep will take it to your governor. Now, in those days, that is what they did. But how does that apply to us? Just to summarize, everything that we do for God must not be less in terms of standard than what we do in the secular world. He said, Father, I say, I'm a great God. The very God that has given you the grace. The Bible says your life is a vapor. You now want to offer unto him one-eyed goat. He said, God said, don't worry. He said, take that same goat and go and give the governor. Or go and give whoever is in authority, whether they will accept you. Even nowadays, if you give 10 naira to a beggar, they will look at you and say, oh God, what do you want me to do with this? You think I don't have money to buy pure water? Are you following me? Get my train of thought. I don't want to be too harsh, so I'm making it very, very simple. But what we are saying is this thing, is that any time, whatever we need to look at ourselves and our service in the house of God. How much time? How much effort? You are going to give. You're going to stand before a professor tomorrow. You're going to give a report, a term paper, or whatever. Just whatever. You know the time you spend. You know you even pray, you fast to make sure that the thing is done because you want a particular. You want to be perfect. And when that comes to things of God, are you following me? You can't prepare. Like that brother that slept off and was asking for mercy, Lord. I ask this question. It's not I do fall asleep at times, but I call myself to order. Who will be driving on the expressway and fall asleep? What makes you stay asleep? Even though you are tired, what makes you stay awake rather? But when it comes to the things of God, with pity, with levity.
Say, go and give it to your governor. You're standing for your professor, like I'm. You're standing and you fall asleep. Or you are giving your thesis or whatever, defending your thesis, and then your phone rings. And you answer it. And you say, excuse me, sir. Go and give it to your governor. A WhatsApp message comes. Through a petition, you are replying messages. Go and give it to your governor. We know the consequences. So God was very angry in the book of Malachi. And he told them, he said, where is my honor? You guys don't respect me again. And I'm about to come back. So get your house in order. So, but why? Again, the root cause is what I quoted in Jeremiah chapter 9. They did not understand God's loving kindness, God's justice, and God's righteousness. So most times, God allows that judgment to come so that he cannot give the commensurate righteousness. The same brother or sister that could not pray without using his phone, the same brother is under serious affliction and he switches off his phone when he's facing a challenge that knows that, God, you have to deliver me today. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn anybody, but I'm not saying that, look, let's check ourselves as priests. Let us begin to ask God, God, what are the things that I'm doing in my life? These are just some of them. I will give other examples as we go on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, having said that, I put it here. I said, this has to do in the Old Testament with animal sacrifices. But now when you look at it in our present day context, the pastor taught us recently, you know, we are not offering animals again. We are offering spiritual sacrifices of Melchizedek priesthood, which is prayer. So you see, when you bring a one-eyed goat before God, or a sheep that has a broken leg, or you bring Cain brought, you know, whatever, those pictures that we see, oranges that are looking, you know, something that you can't even eat yourself, the remnant, and you bring it to God in the place of prayer. You don't concentrate, like pastor will say. You don't say, be concentrate, visualize, do all these things. Whenever you leave the same church, after prayer, you are driving on the road, you concentrate, you visualize, you can see the car coming from the corner. But when you come back to pray, you don't visualize, you don't see anything. Are you following me? So God was not so pleased with it. So he's talking here, not just about the, he's not talking about physical sacrifices. He's talking about the spiritual sacrifices of prayer. You know, the burnt offering, the meat offering, the peel offering, meal offering, all those offerings, sin offering that pastor taught us about. Let's open about Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 1, just to put a scripture or two scriptures behind it. What does it say? Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 1. Say, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is a blemish or any evil favoredness. For that is what? An abomination unto the Lord thy God. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9. What does it say? He that turneth away his ear from what? Hearing the law, even his what? Prayer shall be what? Abomination. We're talking about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When you don't obey the teachings about how to pray. You know, I'm not saying because that is how we pray here. You know, you just believe that you can pray anyhow before God. But this is an abomination. Are you following me? Pastor has thought about the altar of whole stones. If you don't follow that procedure and you just pray anyhow, apart from not even concentrating, it's like you're offering unto God an ill-favored offering. And Bible says it's an abomination. The last aspect I put here, it's not a long message, is that when we begin to honor people above God, I say when we honor people or the honor we give to people surpasses honoring or obeying God. I mentioned earlier, I said it's called idolatry. We must never ever honor anybody above God. We must never. I remember, if you remember the New Testament, there was a king, you know, Herod. He had killed James. God did not talk. God didn't say anything. He left him. He was going to kill Peter. Then they called him and they gave an oration somewhere. And people started saying, this is the voice of God. This is not the voice of man. That was God got angry. But I said, immediately, if it wasn't God that these angels of God said, what nonsense. Or Gamino, Basaro, so to speak. He just came, smote him dead. I said, the bread warms immediately. Can you imagine? He killed James. God wasn't pleased though, but he kept quiet. Along with Mora.
Then the prophet was going to kill Peter. God delivered Peter. Then they called him someone to come and, I can't remember my story, to come and give. Then he gave a speech, some oration, and the people were hailing him. And the Bible said, because he gave not glory to God. But I said, this is the voice. You see, anytime people begin to pump you up, they are spreading a net for your feet. That is why I said, you must never honor man above God. There's an honor for man, but there's an honor that goes to God only. You must give God honor and glory. He said, I will never share my glory with them. He's not talking about the glory in terms of manifesting the glory of God. He said, I will never share my glory with any man. That's talking about honor there. Praise the Lord. So let's look at some examples here that I put down. Look at the example of Saul. We all know that story. You know, when God told him to go and sacrifice, he gave me an instruction, and he disobeyed. And when Samuel came, God said, what come? He said, I have obeyed what God told me to do. He said, except for that we kept this and we did this and we did this. And it was in that situation that Samuel said what he said. Let's go Bible to Psalm, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 15:20. So, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've done, and I've gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I've brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed Amalekites. When he disobeyed God here, God's instructions, it dishonored God. Verse 22. So, and Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in what? Obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 23. I want us to see something. For rebellion is what? As a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now look at what Saul says. Because this was the issue at stake. Because of the fear of men, he honored men above God. So when Samuel came and he honored God by pronouncing a judgment upon him, you know what Saul said? Which was the root cause? Verse 13. He said, please honor me before men. I said, why did he do what he did? He wanted to look honorable before men. So he disobeyed God. And it cost him his kingdom. So you see somebody there that dishonored God in trying to honor men. And God was not very pleased with it. Also, we look at Eli. We talked about Eli on Sunday. What was the problem of Eli? I put here a summary. So Eli honored his children above God because he preferred the benefits of the best offerings taken by manipulation and force to integrity and righteousness. That was the problem of Eli. If open to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29, we'll see it there. You see, why did Eli keep quiet when he saw all that his children were doing? Because part of those things they took will always come to him. And the moment he told them, if he had called them and said, you this boy, like Pastor was speaking to us about on Sunday, I heard you guys that are committing adultery, for men's fault, you're no more going there. And suspended them before everybody. You know, the Old Testament, God said something. He said, if you have a son that is rebellious, he said, it's the parents that will first of all stone him. That's why the Bible says that, rebuke them, he says that rebuke them that sin. Somebody in 2 Timothy. He said that before all, that all may fear. You see, you're not supposed to cover. You cover is when something keeps on going on and on, you need to, it is known by everybody. You better bring it and open it up. Let them see the discipline that you have put on those children or whoever. That they may learn to fear. So they won't think that you can. Let it be known that they are under discipline. You may not, let them see something that, he used to do this, but no longer doing. Did they know? Okay. Not that they will just leave it. So verse 30, what does he say? Verse 30, please. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Wherefore, the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that the house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me. For them that do what? Honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, what was the sin that they committed that made God say this? Two things they did. The way they were taking God's offering by force. And the second thing was that he said that because he did not honor him above his children. So God didn't take it lightly. And try to help us to see areas in which we might be dishonoring God. So that is what was the problem of Eli in that situation. The offering that was coming to him. You know, that man of God told him, he said, he was talking about the fat. That is it because of the fat and everything that you get? The choice part. And incidentally, the fat is supposed to be for God. Because when God was talking to Zadok of Ezekiel, he told them, he said that these ones, they will offer unto me the oil, and the blood and the fat. Which has to do with the blood speaks about your life laid down. Because life of the flesh in the blood. And then the fat, which is where the oil comes from. The savor. So they were taking that offering, that aspect that belongs to God, the honor. So this man said, look, come. He said that God told him, he said, them that honor me will I honor. And those that despise I'll be lightly esteemed. So that was the problem of Eli. You see, it is not that in ministry, you know, those that God calls into ministry. God has, you know, in the Old Testament, is that Levites should not walk. He told them, he said, God will bless them. But you see, there is a snare there. I'm not saying that people should not walk. The same Bible says, those that do not walk, do not eat. But you see, what we are saying is this. You see, if you don't get into the habit of, you know, honoring God, finding something to do, if you get into the area of covetousness, there is a snare there. And Peter identifies it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, in Amplified. When he was talking about to the elders, he said something. He said, are we there? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, in Amplified. What does it say? He said, I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and the spiritual guides of a church, as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory, the honor and splendor that is to be revealed, disclosed, unfolded. Next verse. This one together. Next verse. Say, tend, let's say together, tend to nurture, guide the flock. The flock of God, that is what? Your responsibility. Not by coercion or constraint, but willingly, not dishonorably, motivated by the advantages and the profits belonging to the office, but eagerly and the advantages belonging to the office. But do not let that be your motivation. That is, you are not coming to preach because of the offering you are going to get. I follow me. He said, don't let that be your motivation. You are not going to pray for a sick person now because they are going to say, this man is anointed. And they begin to put you where God did not put you. There's an honor for men of God. But don't let that be the advantages that come with it. Don't let that be your motivation. That's what God is saying. Praise the Lord. So, when I said this again, as I was preparing, God now began to see how it is possible for us to fall into this situation. It's easy to look at Eli and say, Eli, that man was a very bad man. In fact, his children are committing adultery in front of the tabernacle. And he kept quiet about it. They were stealing offering, whatever way you look at it. And he didn't see anything. But this way I see, which we need to take it to ourselves. So we can avoid this trap. I put it, I said, when we wink and turn a blind eye to this poor spiritual growth, or whoever is under us, our children, our wife, or whatever, because they are succeeding in their academics or career, we are doing the same thing. Fact. You see, when you pastor has taught us that we should combine our spiritual growth, spiritual education with our secular education, right or wrong. But when they keep on chasing the secular at the expense of the spiritual, and you don't call them to order, you are doing what Eli did. Or they pick a job that they should not pick. And now this thing is going to send leanness to their soul. But because they give you things and they bless you and you keep quiet, you are no more concerned about their spiritual growth. You are doing exactly what Eli did. It's a fact. It's a fact. There are many areas that it can happen. You see, so don't look at Eli and say, okay, Eli is a very bad person. You should have corrected his children. You too, do you correct your children when they don't come to pray? Do you correct them when they don't come to church? Do you correct them even when they come late? Do you correct your children when they don't read their Bible and they neglect the word of God? Do you speak to them when they make wrong choices? and say, you can't marry this person, no. Even though it's the governor's son or governor's daughter, you cannot. Unless you are born again, or you wink at it. Because he has come home and has brought, so to speak, the fruit of your labor. Like every parent will be expecting that, my dear mama. You better be careful the kind of thing you eat. These are things that we need to talk about. You see, the question I ask myself is this. Do we really believe what we are taught? Do we believe it or we don't believe it? If we believe it, like Bible talks about Lois and Eunice, they transferred what they believe to Timothy. Bible says, Abraham commanded. He said, I know he will command. Not suggest, he will command. You see, there's a problem that we can face if we don't stand for truth. Look at Job. Instead of him to teach his children how to offer sacrifices, he said, don't worry, I'll do it for you. I will cover for you. No! It won't work. There will come a time, but by reason of time, you ought to be teachers. You notice that God could speak about Job. He said, I know my servant Job, but could not speak about any of his children. And it was not the will of God for them to die. Our children will not die in Jesus' name. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that we need to make sure, unless we ourselves are not sure of what we believe. But we need to impart it to them, to let them know that godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of life that now is, and the life which is to come. You see, you can get the promise of this life without being godly. But the promise of a life to come, you can never get it without being godly. You can excel. I'm not trying to say we should not excel. God wants us to excel. But you see, what I'm saying is this. You cannot judge basically by physical success and then neglect the spiritual, because strong men hold riches. How come when all that, so to speak, fell upon Job's children, but the servants escaped? They said, I'm the only one that has escaped. Why did they escape? Just preaching. Maybe they were watching and praying. And the children were not watching and praying. Why did they escape? Somebody escaped. They didn't escape. The servant was probably following Job. And the children are not following him. So they kept, I said, this one escaped. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So what are we saying? You see, these are the things we need to check out about honoring God. I'm talking about Eli now and his children. We need to make sure that they do these things we have been taught. We need to make sure that they know the God of their father. I follow him, because there will come a time that God will begin to make a demand on them. So we don't have to wink at things that are not right. I'm not saying fight them. Not that much that they will make mistakes. We've all made mistakes. What I'm saying is that there's a way that you have to... Look, my daughter, he comes home and he buys you another phone, iPhone. And you know how much you gave him or her to school. You should ask her, how much did we give you? Ajoke, where did you get this from? Some of my friends in school. Which kind of friend is... No, it happens. But Christians keep quiet. Some parents keep quiet. I don't believe it's not missing in Jesus' name. But some parents will keep quiet because of what they can get. They just leave the child. If you talk to the child can mention all the successes in life. He will not mention God for once. He will not hear Jesus for once. Just talk. And I'm wondering, who got you to where you are, for God's sake? You're not forgotten God. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So that is about Eli. And we need to overcome, we need to avoid that trap. Praise the Lord. The other aspect also, like I put it there, I will give some examples. The other example I will give again is the example of Moses, who honored his wife above God. When I was going through the story, I got a better understanding. Let's open to the book of Exodus chapter 4. We'll read from verse 24 in Amplified. You see, God had appeared to Moses and I told him and said, Moses, you're going to lead my people. He had given him a commission. Moses was so happy. He must have spoken to him about the covenant of circumcision, in the burning bush. So Moses goes back, and when he gets back home, tells his wife that God appeared to me. She was very happy, and then told me about circumcision. Said, no problem, go ahead, circumcise. Because God has said it. So Moses took the first child, Gershom, circumcised
the boy. He did the first one, you see. So when after the wife must have seen the circumcision, how bloody it was, he said, "You are not going to touch Eliezer over my dead body, like some women would do." So you know, you can't, this one, you cannot do this one. You cannot, after all, we invest in your academic and everything. No, you can't do this kind of, no. So this is what happened. Let's read. Verse 26 in Amplified. Along the way, at a resting place, they thought they had entered rest. The Lord met what? Moses, and sought to kill him, made him acutely and almost fatally ill. This is God. Next verse. Now, apparently, he had failed to do what? To circumcise one of his sons. See, I had done one already. Because why did he stop? Why did he didn't do the second one? Zipporah did not agree. The wife opposed, but you cannot do this. Are you following me? So he says that his wife being opposed to it, but seeing his life in such danger, Zipporah took a flint knife and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it to touch Moses' feet and said, "Surely a husband of blood you are to me." Then God left him. Moses has obeyed God, but did not fully obey God. And God, notice that God did not go to Zipporah. He went to Moses. He didn't go to Zipporah. He went to Moses. He didn't send to Hophni and Phinehas, like we were talking about the other day. He went to who? To their daddy. Are you following me? So, we need to take it to these things. I want us to contrast Moses and Abraham. I found we are the seed of Abraham. So let's contrast Abraham. God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, the same commandment. He said that he should circumcise his children. But that same day, Abraham circumcised himself, Ishmael, and everybody in his house. See, we're not talking about physical circumcision. We're talking about circumcision of the heart. It's not a physical circumcision here. We're talking about circumcision of the heart. Compare Moses to Abraham. God gave the same similar instruction. And for Abraham, it had never been done before. Moses had the history of Abraham behind him to follow. And for 400 years. But he chose not to obey. But look at Abraham. You don't need to know. Genesis chapter 17, verse 23 to 27. See, the same that God spoke, that is the self-same day. Abraham circumcised himself, circumcised Ishmael, circumcised all the people in his house. Look at Abraham. The same commandment. God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom thou lovest, and take him to a place where I will show you that sacrifice." Immediately, Abraham took his son and took him there. What am I trying to say? I'm not saying that we should not love our children. I'm not saying that we should not love our wife, whoever is under. What I'm saying is, when it comes to honoring God and obeying God, let God be priority. When it's painful, you have to tell the truth. Why? Because at the end of the day, if you do not speak the truth, you have dishonored God, and then it's ultimately going to affect those children and can also affect the person who's in charge. That's what I'm trying to say. Praise the Lord. So if you contrast Abraham that same day, he circumcised all his children. Ishmael was the only child at the time. Yeah. And then the other aspect of all his household. And then again, God tested him and said, "Take that only child, your only child, and go and sacrifice him." He said, immediately, that would mean anything. I don't want to give examples, so we don't begin to think in a negative way. But what I'm trying to say is that we need to honor God above people, above your child, above whoever, whatever you are doing, your job. You see why it is very important? Because the glory that is coming, all those things will be tested. God can tell you. I'm not saying he will tell you, please, but just understand. He can tell you like he told Pastor. Say, "Leave where you are and then come back to Nigeria to be sitting on a keg." But if you are disobeyed, then you know we will not be here. Because God will not show you the details of what is ahead. So also is the glory that we are talking about. Please, I'm not saying that God will tell you to leave your job. That's what I'm saying. So don't leave here. God will tell me to leave my job. What I'm saying is, whatever God tells you to do, obey. Praise the Lord. That's all the summary of that. So, what is the underlying principle behind this? Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Matthew 10, 34. What does it say? "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but what? A sword." Next verse. "For I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Next verse. And a man's foe shall be there of his own household. This is the he that loveth, yes, next verse says, he that loveth or honoreth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. These are scriptures we cannot hide from. What we are trying to say is this: we need to love God or honor God above every other thing. So if your sorry to use your child again comes and says, I'm going to go and do so, so and so, maybe go for a party, you say, no, you are not going there. We are going to church. It's time for church, not a party. I'm not saying it's wrong to go for parties, the right ones. You should be able to speak the truth to them in love. And not say, okay, it doesn't matter, you can go. God does not mind. And then I will go, you go. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. So why is this very important? After going to all this wahala of honoring God, why is it very important? I said, honoring God has rewards. One of the rewards I put here is long life. I said, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I do what? I will deliver him and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because he has set his love upon me, that we mentioned earlier on. But the aspect I want to, if you honor God, it will bring rewards, finances, whatever, blessing, children, whatever. But the aspect I want to zero on is the glory of God. I put there, honoring God has rewards, especially the reward of manifesting the glory of God in this season of a feast of Purim. We need to honor God. Esther chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. The king came and said, what shall be done unto the man that God the king decides to honor? You see, the first verse, Exodus chapter 6, verse 1, talks about the king could not sleep. He said he opened a book of remembrance. When that is now where God is opening a book of remembrance of those that honor him, those that serve him. You know, he says, they shall be mine in the day that I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his son that serveth him. Remember, the issue was the service of God. Are you following me? He said, I'll make them my jewels. You know, I'll spare the master prayer his own son. He said, then shall you decide between the righteous and the wicked, them that serve God and them that serve not. So we're in that season now. It was after the fast of Esther that the king could not sleep. He said, go and bring the chronicles. Then he opened and said, what has been done for this man, Mordecai? So God has opened that book in this day. So in verse 3, what does he say? He now asks the question. He says, verse 3 says, and the king said, what honor and dignity had been done to Mordecai for this? That is when he saved the king's life. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. So God has opened that book in this day. So Malachi, help me. Esther chapter 6, verse 6. He now asks the question. He says that what shall be done unto the man whom the queen delighted to honor? That was when this funny guy, Haman, walked into the place. He walked in at the right time. Just fulfilled his destiny. But what I want to see is that it's not what happened to Haman. But Haman said something that was very, very prophetic, which I want us to see. And then Haman said something in Esther chapter 6, verse 8. What did Esther say? He's mentioned three things. He says that let the royal apparel be brought which the king used to wear. When you're talking about the king, we're not talking about Israel, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you following me? And then he said, and the horse that the king rideth upon. That is the second thing. And the third thing, that the crown royal which is set upon his head. So let's say together, the king's royal apparel, the king's horse, and then what? The crown of the king. Those are the three things that God wants to bestow upon those that honor him this day. God has a question. So you want to ask yourself, is there anything worth it to miss this thing, the king's apparel, the king's horse, and then the king's crown? What do these things mean? I try to explain them. What is the king's royal apparel? This speaks of the life of God being made manifest in the soul and in the mortal flesh. We've been taught the ability of the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 says, the life of Christ be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That is the honor that God will bestow on people. And that life is in your body. So you start experiencing things like Paul experienced when he was preaching, somebody fell down. And he went and just transmitted life in his body. He said, don't worry, his life is in him. That is when you now begin, you're not only living in divine health, you are living in divine life.
life of God has swallowed up the sin nature in the body. That is honor that God wants to bestow upon his church, those that honor him. Psalm 45 verse 8. It says, it talks about raiment. When you see raiment, it's not talking about the physical clothes. No, it's talking about the physical body. It says, all thy garments smell of what? Myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby thou have been made glad. You see, we know that is the things that they used to make the anointing. They used to compound it. When we talk about these garments here, you see that anointing enters the garment, your physical body. It's transmitted in that body. That is the honor that God wants to give to those that honor him. The second thing is this. He said that you bring what the king's horse. Let's say the king's horse. What does that speak? When the Bible talks about the horse, the Bible talks about strength. Say strength. It's talking about strength. So what do we mean by strength in this day? It speaks of divine strength to execute righteous judgment that is written in this day of vengeance. Where do I get that from? Why do we need to ride a horse? Talks about Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 19 verse 11. He said he comes riding on a white horse. I said the armies that are behind him. It takes strength to execute righteous judgment. That's why it says in Psalm 149 verse 7. It says all this honor has all the saints. It says to execute the judgment that is written. There is a judgment that is written. That in this day of vengeance. He said, this is the acceptable of Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. But you need to get on the king's horse before you can execute that kind of judgment. Are you following me? Then the last thing that he said, they should bring what? A crown. What is the crown royal? Psalm 8 verse 5. All of this actually speaks about the glory of God. But the crown speaks of, it says honor and glory. So that has crowned him with what? Honor and glory. Psalm 8 verse 5. So there are the three things that God wants to do to them that honor him. Above every other thing, God wants to give them his raiment, you know, which speaks about life of Christ being made manifest in the mortal flesh. Then they're going to ride on his horse to execute the judgment that is part of the destiny of the end time. But when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of life will learn righteousness. They kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. And then he's going to put upon them the king's crown royal, which speaks about the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Notice this was a problem that made the glory depart in time of Eli. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 21. When Ophni's wife died, he says something, the glory has departed. So it is what made the glory depart? We saw it earlier on. Because Eli honored his children above God. So the same, I'm not talking about children specifically today. I'm talking about honoring. So I'm not zeroing down on children. I've said that when you honor anything above God, the glory departs. Are you following me? So what does it say? 1 Samuel chapter 4 verse 21. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is what? Departed from Israel. Because of what? The ark of God, which is the glory, saying glory, was taken. And because of her father-in-law and her husband. Are you following me? So you see, the glory has to return. But for the glory to return, for what I'm saying, that's why God sent Malachi. He said, why are you honoring me? Or dishonoring me on your offerings? You are dishonoring me in the way you offer my service, in the way you serve me. You despise my name, which is the character of God. So for us to honor God, we need to take you to this thing so that God can honor us with his glory. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we attain unto this glory? Let's open our Bible of John chapter 12. It's good for us to look at the types and the shadows, what this means, the crown, the horse, the raiment. Fine. But see, the root cause of everything we do, you need to have that ingrained in our mind, is as a result of the fallen state of man, the sin nature. So as the Lord just said in John chapter 12 verse 26, we now begin to see how to attain unto this. You know, so we don't go away with the aspect of, okay, I have to do this. We can't do these things in the flesh. It has to be by the Spirit. John chapter 12, verse 26. Thank you, Lord. If any man will serve me, let him do what? Follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him also will my Father honor. So God ties his service, his honoring people to serving him. Which you can see from the book of Malachi. I follow him. He said that, let's read again. He said that, if any man will serve me, Let him do what? Follow me. And where I am, there also shall my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So how do we honor God? How do we serve God? We start with the fear of God. What is the fear of God? We taught is honesty and humility, which attracts the mercy of God. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. A proud person will never honor God. What does it say? It says, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We're talking about the honor that God is going to bestow. Before you can get that honor, there has to be the fear of God, which is honesty and humility of heart. We can look at this again from Proverbs 21, verse 21. It says, he that feared righteousness and mercy obtain righteousness. He that followeth after righteousness, which is right standing, and mercy, findeth life, that mercy will give life, righteousness, which is now right doing, and then honor. That is a spiritual process we need to follow. Pastor has taught us about that many times. You know, and then the second aspect, it says, talks about serving God. How do we serve God? Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Paul was talking, he said, I thank my God that I serve with my spirit, praying always for you. Are we there? He said, for God is my witness. He said, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel. How did he serve God with spirit in the gospel of his son? That without ceasing. Say without ceasing. Bible says we should pray without ceasing. I make mention of you always in my prayer. So that is basically how we serve God. You cannot serve God in physical things without first serving God in spiritual things through prayer. It takes spiritual power in the place of prayer to serve God. Or else you will offer up polluted bread. I follow him because you have to do those sacrifices of Melchizedek, the sin offering, you know, the meal offering, you know, the burnt offering. They are spiritual sacrifices. It is when you do that that you can escape all the other things that Israelites, the priests, were doing in that day. It is by you look at the life of Eli. The Bible says that his eyes were the light of them was going dim. You know, that was a symbol. He could no longer see properly again. There must have been a time in Eli's life. That was light. Come to think about it, where do you think that Samuel got the unction from? Where his word did not fall to the ground? Was it not the same Eli that spoke to our mom and said, go worry, God has answered your prayers? I follow him because he was under that covenant at a certain time, but the thing began to win. So you see, you need to offer up these sacrifices, you know, so that I can avoid those things. If you don't do this sacrifice, like this prayer, using the blood, word, and spirit, it is not possible. Praise the Lord. So how do we do it? Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 says, who in the Jesus of his flesh, when he had offered our prayers and supplication with strong kind and tears, unto him that was able to sing for them, and it was heard in that effect. Though he was a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things which he suffered. That's how the master did it. Every day we offer our prayers, supplications, strong kind and tears, unto him that was able to sing for them, and it was heard in that effect. He had this attitude of meekness, and that's why he said, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. These are the things that we need to do to honor God. You know, we don't need to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying to all times of prayer in the Spirit. Then the next aspect from that book of John that we quoted, he said, let him that will serve me, let him follow me. How do we follow God? We follow God by perfecting the love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says that, follow after charity. That is the three things we do. Say, first of all, you exercise honesty and humility of heart. We give you mercy and grace. Then use that life you receive to serve God in place of prayer. Pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. This sacrifice of Melchizedek priesthood. Then, as you are doing, what your focus for using those principles is to perfect the love of God. He mentioned earlier and said that you have despised my name. So you now make the name of Christ top priority. That's it. Your focus of your prayer is to perfect love of God. Say, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. Who is him? Love. Because God is love. So you now use those things to follow after perfecting the love of God in your life. And then finally, but not the least, is when we now begin to offer our tithes and offerings. You see, it's important to also do that also. Why? Because that opens the heavens over you. That is where covering comes in. Because the tithe you give to God goes to those that God has put over you. Because you cannot do this thing, you need a supplement. You know, for you to be able to attain to do this so that they can work properly. So I'll go over these four things again. We start by the fear of God, honesty and humility of heart. He gives us mercy and grace. And then we use the life we receive from mercy and grace of God to pray with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, using the blood, the word, and the Spirit. And then the focus of our prayer should be following on to perfect the love of God in our lives. So as we perfect that love of God in our lives, then Father will now begin to give our tithes and our offerings. It is not the other way around. We don't emphasize tithes and offerings that I spoke about earlier on. Those that offer polluted offering on the altar. You know, they have put that one as a priority, so they put a price tag to it. But that is the divine order. You honor God, you fear God, you serve Him with your spirit, pray with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit. That as you pray, your focus is to perfect the love of God. Then now, by the time you do all that, giving your tithes and offerings is something you just do naturally. I found you can give your tithes and offering and not do all that because that is more convenient. A lot of people are doing the church today. They will bring their tithes to church. They just send it and they don't come to church to pray. They don't walk in love. Is this for people to steal money and give their tithes? I follow me. So, but this is divine order. So that is why I believe that God wants me to share today. As we close, let's talk to God in our hearts. And let's ask God for mercy to help us. First of all, to repent of these things when we have fallen short. There are areas that I had to correct myself when I was preparing myself. You know, where we have offered to God a one-eyed, an ill-favored offering, so to speak. And God is asking us, where is my honor? He said, if a son will honor his father, and a servant his master, but if I am a father to you, where is my honor? Let's ask God to have mercy on us, to forgive us. It's not to condemn anyone, but to prepare our hearts for the return of the Lord. The Bible says, we'll come suddenly into his temple. Say, who might abide the day of his coming? Who will stand when he appeareth? Before he got to that verse in chapter 3, that was when he started talking about honor. Say, where is my honor? Praise the Lord. Shall we stand to our feet as we pray? I will have no other God but you alone. I will bow to no other God but you.